Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 5-Star Joshi Show here on the Fight Game Media Network. I am your host, as always, Scott Edwards. And with me today is my good friend, Dylan Murray of Stardom Quest, because his podcast partner decided to come back this week. And I said, well, Dylan, we have a lot to talk about that I was looking forward to talking about. So you're coming on my show instead. So here he is. Dylan, welcome to, back to the show.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I need to put my other headphone in. It sounded weird. I could hear my voice very loudly because I had all my headphones off. Whatever. Yeah, I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to talk to you. Yeah, it was kind of a spur of the moment thing. Alex was just like, I'll come back this week. I was like, okay. And me and you had bits planned. We're gonna talk about like some Spy Kids and Chan Yoda, you know, like all that good jazz. And so we thought, you know, let's still talk about some stuff. Maybe not Spy Kids. We'll see if we could fit it in there somewhere. But yeah, I'm happy to talk with you this week about all the great things in Joshi Wrestling. Also, I always forget that now that you upload to like YouTube and stuff, you don't do that really loud intro. Like I was like bracing for it, and I was like, oh, he just talked. Like he started talking.
Oh, when I used to scream.
No, that and the fight game, like, whoosh.
Oh, yes.
Which I loved that, but yeah, it was always super loud. I'd always have to, like, I'd always get scared, startled by it. Yeah,
that's fair. No, we still got that. That's only if I'm live, though. We don't do that for anything else. But, okay, yeah, no, I still do the loud opening usually, but I've calmed it down a little because I heard it back once. And I was like, oh, that's terrifying. But yeah, we have a lot to talk about today, and I won't call it a quiet week, but I mean, Joshi's pretty quiet lately. No one's wrestling, it feels like. I haven't seen a rematch in way too long. TJPW is just announcing things right now. So we're just kind of here. But thankfully, Stardom keeps doing things, and we'll get to all that in a little bit. But we're going to start with the news and notes of the week, because there are some news and notes, not for anything we could have watched, but there are news and notes nonetheless. And we'll kick off that with the TJPW announcement that at Grand Princess 2024, it will be Maki Ito going one-on-one with Minoru Suzuki. Dylan, how do you feel?
I'm excited. That's so exciting. Like, I think getting into Puro a few years ago, Minoru Suzuki is one of my first favorites, right? I adored him. I thought he was just the coolest motherfucker alive. And now I think that, like, people kind of, like, use him wrong very often, because it's like he's definitely a novelty wrestler in this day and age. So if you're not going to put him in, like, a tag team with someone he meshes well with, like a straight-up singles match with Minoru Suzuki doesn't always work well. But I think that this is exactly the sort of Minoru Suzuki match I want in my life, because this sounds fucking hilarious. Like, this sounds great. And they're also, like, cool. Like, they're like, friends. Maki Ito and Minoru Suzuki are friends. So while I don't think Minoru Suzuki is going to be doing too much selling for her, I don't think he'll be afraid to sell a fucking, you know, her stepping on his toe or something. You know, like, I think there will be a way to work this match that's not just, like, disrespectful to the card, if that makes sense, because it could be, you know, if Minoru Suzuki it could be disrespectful, but I think there's room for this to be a really fun and, like, entertaining match. I'm excited for it, relatively speaking.
I think it's fine. Like, I think there's gonna be some people that hate it. I know some people that do hate it, and I think there's gonna be some people that love it, and I'm kind of just in the middle where it's like, well, it can't be worse than the Rina Yamashita match, right? Right? Because that was terrible. From the Etienne show. So that's kind of one way I'm looking at it. And I feel like this is one of those matches where it might work better for Suzuki. Like, I thought the Unagi Produce Show main event was a little, it was fun for what it was. And that was, what was it, Minoru and Masato Tanaka?
I forget who's his tag partner was.
I think it was Masato Tanaka against Unagi and Konami. Yeah. And that was fun. So, like, that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. And I think Maki Ito is so much fun that, you know, maybe she can work some sort of story out of her. If he's willing to give, it's going to work out just fine. And I think that's kind of maybe the worry a little bit. I don't expect him, like you said, I don't expect him to, like, you know, give it all and win and lose necessarily. But if he's willing to give and play to the match itself, it can be a lot of fun. That card is taking shape. They also added Aja Kong and Maxi Impaler versus Shoko Nakajima and Hyper Masao. Yuki Arai and Yuki Kamifuku will face off for the International Princess Championship. The tag belts will be between Ryo Mizunami and Yuki Aino versus Daisy Monkey. And then, of course, your main event, Miyu Yamashita versus Miyu Watanabe.
Also,
for the Princess of Princess Championship. So it's an interesting card. I will keep holding out hope for Masha Slamovich versus Rika Tatsumi. The more they don't get announced, the more hope I get. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they'll just put them in a tag and my heart will be broken. But at least it would be in the same match, right? I guess that's one way to look at it.
I think the card is a bit it's a Swiss cheese card, which is something that happens a lot nowadays, where it feels like they're just like matches that just like, oh man, that's gonna be like third from the top, I don't want to watch that, you know what I mean, like, or second from the top for that matter. Mm-hmm. But then, like, but in between it's like, oh, but that looks fun and that looks fun, and that's kind of frustrating. It's not like in Japan, you ideally all of the bad matches would be the first three matches and all the good matches would be the last four or five,
right.
But like, I'm not too into Yuki versus Yuki for the belt.
No, that's gonna be bad.
I think both of them. I think both of them have the ability to be good against good opponents, but I don't think either of them are good standalone. If no. That makes sense. And I think against each other, I just don't see a lot in that match. And I think Aja and Max versus Shoko and Masao is kind of missing the mark on something, especially since they're doing Minoru Suzuki versus Maki Ito. That just sounds like a worse story-wise, a worse version of this match. You know what I mean? Like Minoru Suzuki and Maki Ito is a better version of the tag match in what it will represent, right? One small, going to get their ass beat against an imposing force. And yeah. I think you could have done that, but I think there would have been more interest if you gave one of Max or Aja, one of their like tag team partners, if you gave Max Palm or you gave Aja Raku, I think there could have been a bit more of a, you know, just a flow to it, a more interesting, you know, dynamic to it. So I'm not as crazy about a lot of the card, but yeah, I think Minoru Suzuki versus Makito is a great addition to it. I think it sounds really, really fun.
They should have ran back Aja Kong versus Wakana Uehara, but...
Oh, yeah, sure.
I digress.
They can do that every month. We can see how she progresses.
Exactly. In another world, Aja Kong versus Risa Endo would be sick, but...
Yeah.
Daisy Monkey needs those belts, so that's more important right now.
Oh, yeah.
Next up, Sendai Girls had a couple shows this past weekend. We don't really get to talk about them, obviously, because they don't air all that much, or at all, whatever you prefer. But the Reiwa Ultima Powers, Dash Chisako and Hiroya Matsumoto won the Sendai Girls World Tag Team Championships, defeating Team 200 Kilograms. This is their third reign as the champions. Not really a shock.
I'm not going to lie. These two tag teams might be the only tag teams to ever hold the Sendai Girls Tag Team titles.
Ah, funny you say that.
History.
Do you so let's go down some history, shall we? That I actually had this plan. So the last time that a tag team that wasn't these two that held these belts There's no way you're gonna guess this.
Oh wait, I think I know it. I haven't gone to the cage match yet. I almost did.
Don't.
Was it Mio Momono and somebody?
No, that was two before this. You're gonna love this. Ready?
Okay.
Hibiki and Andras Miyagi.
That's that noise pollution, baby. I love that tag team. Me and Alex argue about that all the time.
For 33 days.
I was like, oh, that tag team was sick. And he's like, it was fucking god awful.
Before that was Minami and Meiko Wada, who held it for 31 days. And before that was Mio Momono and Rin Katakura, who held it for 85. And then, of course, Team 200 Kilograms, and you guessed it, Reiwa Ultima Powers after that.
Oh, yeah. So I wasn't that far off. It all happened in 2021. For some reason, I thought that the Hibiki Andras team lost it back to Mio and somebody. I thought Mio held it twice, but she only held it once.
Yeah, I just had to get the pop in there. I knew you'd love it. The moment I saw that they were the
last one. That was a big pop. I love me some Hibiki. I miss them. And I love me some Andras Miyagi, Big Meech, if you will. That was that noise pollution. I love those motherfuckers. They came out with the megaphones. It was crazy.
Ultimately, they are just rinsing and repeating once again. I'm sure the match was great. I won't doubt that. But it's a little annoying, but it is what it is. Speaking of annoying, and I just want everyone to know, I am convinced that Mako Satomura is back booking
this company.
I am fully convinced.
We will see if Big Hosh wins the title from Mika, I think
we'll know. So Iwata, since winning the world title from Millie McKenzie on September 18th, 2023, has not defended this title. So don't you worry. It's not like she is defending successfully. But since then, she has lost against Sari and Dash Osako just one weekend ago. She also has gone to two time limit draws against Sayori Ano and Rio Mizunami. But don't worry. She's also defeated Minami in zones, which, you know, is not that impressive. Here's a for instance, okay? Sari beat Iwata quicker than Iwata beat Zones. Zones is notably a rookie.
That's crazy. Yeah. Like, Zones doesn't win matches.
No, not at all. Never. So take that for what you will, everyone. For anyone that wanted the Sendai Girls Senjo update, you got it. Congratulations. Man,
going on their cage match, I just remembered that the Sendai Girls Junior Championship has been vacant for several years.
They did a tournament for it and they just stopped.
Yeah. They did do that. Because I was like, I could have swore that, like, I didn't think oh, somebody's junior champion, but I thought they were like bringing it back. But
yeah, Zones won the finals,
and she's not Sendai junior champion,
did not get a title. So, interesting.
Did they forget? Like, what the fuck happened?
I don't know, man. But good news, next Friday, for anyone interested, Just Tap Out returns to Cork and Hall, and it will be Tomoka Inaba versus Azusa Inaba for the Queen of JTO Championship, which is a very exciting match. Actually, me and Dylan have watched that tournament. It's been fun. Azusa's the shining star.
We watched most of the matches of the tournament, yeah. The good ones,
crazy. Yeah, we watched all the Inaba ones.
Yeah, and yeah, Azusa has undeniably been the best of the tournament, because I think she works the rules better than Tomoka does.
Which is crazy.
Yes, but it's also like Azusa is a lot more karate based, so she just does a lot more strikes than Tomoka does, because Tomoka has that like half karate, half submission stuff. Azusa has pocket submissions more than Tomoka, whereas, you know, Tomoka's just like half submissions basically. So Azusa just has a bit more of a more energetic style in those sorts of matches. So yeah, Azusa versus Tomoka should be really good. I if we ever see it, it's a big if, it should be really good.
All right, that's all the
oh, and I think Tomoka wins, because
yeah, I do too.
Like, Azusa's like beaten people, like legit people. She beat Aoi, for example, but I don't think she's beaten her older sister yet.
Azusa's the real, folks. Yeah, the reason she was booked on the Queendom show. I'm not saying there's a reason Tomoko wasn't. I don't know the reason. I like them both, so don't attack me. I'm not attacking her. Anyways, that I think that's pretty much it. There wasn't much to dive into necessarily, at least in terms of like watching, but we're used to that, right?
Yeah.
So let's get into
stardom
sphere of things going on. We have a lot of news to break down. We have a big show to break down. But to this Friday, by the time this comes out, Mayu Iwatani versus Mina Shirakawa would have happened for the IWGP Women's Championship at the New Beginning in Sapporo number one. I don't know what the hell they're calling it. They're probably just calling it New Beginning in Sapporo, but it's day one. So take that and run with it, I guess. The most important part of this, because I did kind of preview it last week, and I was very excited for the match. And as per usual, Mayu made me even more excited for the match after her interview with NewJapan1972.com. Lots to like in here. Obviously, I think everyone should go out of their way to read it themselves, because I think getting to hear Mayu's look at pro wrestling isn't something we always get, especially translated. You know, we get a lot of the Tokyo Sports interviews and things like that, but there's always, it's always fun to see her twist on it all. So some of the tidbits, and Dylan, feel free to jump in when you want to talk about them. So Mayu laughed at the idea of being called a zombie, which is like right at the beginning of this interview.
No, the funniest part is that, so the interview starts and it's like, okay, so who is Mayu Iwatani? She says, I think I'm a zombie.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're what? And she's like, yeah, people just call me a zombie. And then she like explains it.
Yeah, she explains it. She explains it as in, as in whatever happens, no matter what people might try to do to me, I keep getting back up. I keep going. I keep getting beaten up, but I keep finding a way to win. I have this conviction that I'll take the best bumps on any given night. I know it's weird, but I think I take the most damage in the most beautiful way and still win. Amen to that. That's Zombie Mayu. And then there's Killer Mayu, who's the scarier side of me. So not knowing which Mayu you see is part of the excitement. I just want to stress, Killer Mayu is the best wrestler, unquestionably, in the world. We don't get it a lot because, you know, there's a lot of the time she is the underdog for some reason still. But when that breaks out, which I kind of think is possible against Mina this week, it is the very best.
I find it fascinating how Mayu has found a way to do... It's funny that she's on the same show as Dolph Ziggler. because like what Dolph Ziggler used to do is that like he would want to say he bumps the best, but in kayfabe that's terrible. Why the fuck would you want to bump the best? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, so she found a way to make it so it's like, yeah, it's almost like a joke to me. That's like it's just kind of cool to like, you know, get beat the fuck up and then still beat him. Like I think that's like she's like I kind of, you know. It that's what drives me. It's really fun. I think that is such a great way to kind of like compliment yourself for what you're best at, because like Mayu is one of the greatest bumpers of all time. You know what I mean? Like just period, like in wrestling history, undeniably. So like I get that she's like, yeah, like how do I say, yeah, I'm the best bumper of all time without being like, yeah, I like getting beat up is what I'm best at. And I think she kind of did a very good job at that here. It's she sounds like a badass. She sounds cool.
She then shit on the IWGP Women's Championship by saying that she felt Kidani just made it on a whim, which he absolutely did. I will not like, come on. We've talked about this for well over a year now. We're entering a year and a half, I think, or so of this title being around or known about. She goes on to say, like, the New Japan Strong Women's title was made and was defended all the time while I was just pretty much sitting there doing nothing. And she thinks, like, she had the same thoughts that I think a lot of fans had of, like, you know, people are probably, like, wondering what the hell I'm doing. I'm sitting here with the title. I'm never on New Japan shows. And it has the IWGP letters, which are obviously very prestigious. But she then goes into talking about her match with Shuri, which I think is very important. She said the match came together relatively quick, so it feels like I can get out in the world and wrestle more. She knows that the IWGP name means something, but there's still a lot of work to do when it comes to making the IWGP women's title specifically a big deal. But I think even if it ends up taking a while, people will be glad that this belt was made.
Hey, I got that Shuri match. I'm already glad. And that Mercedes match against Kairi.
I know.
I get, obviously she's correct.
Yes.
But I'm happy with the matches I've gotten so far. Mm-hmm. The Utami one was good. It wasn't as good as the qualifier between.
Yeah, Mayu the qualifier Utami, was unreal,
which was fucking phenomenal a year earlier. But yeah, I mean, like, I've gotten a lot of. There's been a lot of great stuff coming out of the IWGP belt. It's just not used very often, and there isn't really identity for it. I will say it's probably the prettiest belt that has been made on a whim by Bushiroad, though.
Yeah, it's probably one of my favorite belts going in wrestling, yeah, just based on look. And I think the way we're seeing it now utilized is how it should have been, obviously, this whole time, right? Had the defense with Shuri. Now we have this one with Mina. Probably one at Buntai, if I had to guess. Hopefully one, maybe one in America as well when that time comes around. So maybe two in 1 month makes the most sense. They're definitely going to have one on Buntai because, obviously, with the awaited exit of some wrestlers, they're going to want big matches on there. And since we know Mayu will be there, based off of reports,
whether she likes it or not,
she seems to, and I'll talk about this because last week I talked for 10 straight minutes about how upset I was about the Mayu stuff. And now I feel like a lot better just after watching this past weekend show and so on. But, she seems to be doing better just like visibly. Yeah. Thankfully, which is nice. She did praise Mercedes Moné. If you want to read that, go out of your way. I mean, Mercedes is great, obviously. Like, I don't think you need to hear me say that.
I just want to say that I love the way that she talks in this interview. Just the way that she like her verbiage is very funny to me. Like, she says, everyone was trying to say that I was the favorite. I was so excited, and then I lost. That shit sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. She should have won. Kairi should have never won. You're correct.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Io Shirai and Nanai Takahashi, she said, are the two women I've always respected the most in wrestling. But Mercedes definitely joined that list. I think that's obviously saying a lot because, you know, Mayu wouldn't just throw that out there to praise Mercedes. What does she care? I still think they need one more match, but that's another topic, I guess, for another day. She called herself Super Saiyan, which was crazy. Like the reference of that and just like the idea that like, yeah, I did that. Against Shuri, by the way, which I went on this show and praised. Because it is still my match of the year, and I don't think it's going to be replaced anytime soon. But she went on to say that she thought that was the best match of her career, which
it's up is there.
Crazy.
Like, I mean,
it's not shocking because it's phenomenal, right?
Yeah.
And she did reference both Io Shirai and Kagetsu, which is funny because I watched both of those matches two of their matches from the past. This week. So I do find it funny that we were kind of on the same wavelength there. But I think it says a lot that she feels that way about that match with Shuri.
I do find like the Super Saiyan comment and whatnot crazy. Well, not crazy, but just really like accurate because she's kind of like, I kind of fucking popped off. That shit was crazy. in a way that's like, it's like, damn, even I didn't expect all that. And like, I think that was kind of the match, like the story of the match is that it's like, damn, I was not expecting this. Like, I expected it to be great, but like, holy fuck.
Yeah. What's happening? He's right, like, now? I did that. And I kind of like it because to me, like, that idea of going back crazy is like, yeah, maybe I blacked out. I don't know. Like, we just went in there. We did headbutts that angered some people. I wish she said that. That was so funny. Oh my God. I would have lost my mind. She'd be like, yeah, we did some headbutts that I hear angered some people. Oh, well, too bad. She probably has no idea. But I as someone that loves that match, and I know like that was such a topic point this year already, I'm happy that she appreciates it as much, because you know, when wrestlers wrestle matches, you never know like how they feel. About things. Like, if you ever hear like John Moxley, for example, he hates pretty much everything he does. And
oh, yeah, I mean,
I think that's always interesting.
Mesa Ruga has talked about how, like, I don't know, like a large amount of her best matches, like that everybody loves, she's like, oh, I fucking hated it. I like, that was like afterwards, I just cried. I was like, I fucking hate this shit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but that was like, great. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, it's like, it's very entertaining for me, like, just anytime wrestlers are willing to talk about their matches like that, because so many of us, like, you know, people fall in line with the star ratings and stuff like that, but for them, this is their craft. So hearing what they appreciate the most makes me appreciate a match even more. I didn't think I could have more appreciation for that
match. And I also think it because it comes so irregularly too, because every wrestler, especially American wrestlers, I think maybe if you ask a Japanese wrestler, they might be a little bit more giving in the answer, but so many wrestlers will be like, oh, well, my best match is my most recent one. It's like, okay, motherfucker, you had a 3-minute squash match on Dynamite. That was not your best. Just fucking answer the goddamn question. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's true.
So I do appreciate her just straight up being like, yeah, I think that was like, I don't know if I'll hit that again. I'm going to try, but that was fucking insane. that was my best shit ever.
And she took the time to shout out Yoshino. So,
oh yeah, shout out.
Great interview, obviously.
Also, great matches. You against Io Shirai and against Kagetsu were some of Mayu's best matches ever.
Yeah.
So like, you know, she like, I think she falls in line with a lot of like popular perceptions that it's like, oh well, it even she even mentions that it's like, oh, I'm a big nostalgia person. Mm. So it's kind of hard to look at my more recent things more accurately and my, you know, longer, you know, my stuff that happened in the past a bit more positively, but this was it, you know, and I think that's great. Like that tells you just how great this match was in even her opinion. Cause I'm the same way. It's like every Kagetsu match is better than any match I've ever seen in the past six, you know, 4 years. But really like, that's probably not true. So I do. Mayu's just like us for real. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's true. Mayu, the match with Shuri, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm trying to think like what match before that would I consider like higher, if that makes sense. Like what was the last top amazing, phenomenal? I mean, probably the one with Kairi. I love that match, but she didn't win. So
it was great.
I was angry. Had she won,
it was great, different story. But the moment, yeah, it was great. But the moment that she lost, it just kind of.
So I think I still prefer the Shuri match. But that was probably the last one that at least got like that conversation.
The 2021 five star will always be looked back at for things. Mayu versus Momo from that five star was tremendous. Probably not as good as this one. And again, this is probably a bit of nostalgia talking, but that was great. That was tremendous.
And then before that, probably the Takumi matches.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. It's probably, I think, the most recent, like, genuine, like, combative
locked in type thing.
Is one of those. I remember liking one of those more than the other.
I like the second more because Mayu's more. In her words, killer Mayu in
I think I did too, actually.
And most people like the first one better, I believe.
Yeah, I think I am with you. I think I did like the second one more, and most people like the first one more.
But they're both like They're both They were obviously. 1 and 2 match of the year that year, so it didn't really
matter. I believe it.
2020 was
2020 was not hard to
no. So they like walked away with it. Anyway, she talked about hurting her pinky in the U.S. and she's like, "This sucks, man. I don't want to ever want to get hurt outside of Japan." She literally said that. She said, "My main thought is that getting hurt outside Japan sucks." But I was like, "Yeah, I'm with you." But in terms of like talking about wrestling in New Japan, I think my favorite quote of maybe the entire thing was, "I think having a match that has fans invested in wanting to see women's wrestling more is so important. This time, there's a lot more pressure because it's a singles match, because it's a title match, to have the fans engaged. If I have a bad match, then that will be that for the people watching. And I want people to see that women's wrestling has a lot to offer." I think we can kind of forget, you know, because the women's wrestling topic is so premier here in the States. But in Japan, in our minds, you and me, because this is what we watch the most, is what we love the most, we just think of it as like the same level in our heads mentally. But obviously, it's not seen that way either. So her care for this going into it has me all the more excited for that match. Like, I am waking up for this match. I don't know what time it's going to be at. Haven't even like mapped it out yet, but I'm going to wake up for
it. It's early. It's early.
Oh, I know it's early.
It starts at 3 a.m. your time, so it's actually not early for you.
No, not at all. But her match is like in the middle, so actually it won't be too bad. I'll be able to go back to sleep after. But her care and want and need to like still prove herself is always why I think her staying in Stardom and staying in Japan is so important. Like, there are wrestlers that leave, obviously. There's Io, there's Kairi, reportedly soon to be Julia. And they leave to, you know, up themselves and take on new challenges. And ultimately, it does help put eyes on the product. But in Mayu's mind, it's all about upping the product overall in Japan. And I think that's always very important to remember. Like, she wants people to know this is the best. She made a great line about Stardom itself, which I think it's later in the interview.
It is later. Two things really quick. One that I forgot to mention. I find it very funny that she was talking about Kairi a lot, and then she's like, "Yeah, I respect two women in wrestling, and neither of them are Kairi."
That was real. That was so real.
Like, Mayu and Kairi always kind of had that, like we're both Io's friend more than they're friends with each other. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which I find very funny. But about this, it was along the same like paragraph or two as the quote you brought up, but I think Mayu, she noted that she always prepares herself for a crowd to be absolutely dead.
Yes.
And for you know, them to not want to watch women's wrestling and really wanting to impress. And I think that mentality, I hate to bring it up again because we just talked about it for a while. I think that mentality kind of is what fueled that Shuri match. Because remember, that match happened right after DDM died, you know, like 20 minutes before the Tokyo Dome show started. Mm-hmm. It felt like there was a lack of want with the crowd going into that main event. Not even because they were like, oh, who cares about my injury? Right. Just because it was just like a victim of the circumstance, ultimately. The DDM thing was brutal. Rough. You know, it really took everybody out of it, people watching at home and in the arena. And again, the Tokyo Dome show, they were going to be late to get to the Tokyo Dome show because of this match. And so I think that mentality of just like, oh, well, the crowd's going to be dead. I need to wake those motherfuckers up. You know, here comes the resuscitator, the revival, if you will. And I think that just aids in like what makes her so great. But yeah. I love reading about her mentality here. She's really like letting a bit of, you know, you don't hear a ton of just like waxing poetic about how you feel about wrestling outside of these New Japan interviews. So I really love these New Japan interviews. I'm happy she got one, but there's even more to be heard.
As she said about Stardom, I wanted to just skip to this real quick and then we'll get to the Bushi. We'll get to the Mina comments and we'll wrap up there. Because it's phenomenal. I want as many people as possible to know that this title exists and that I have it. I'd love to take this overseas more, have more matches, defenses internationally. Notably, she said internationally. I want everyone to like realize that. That doesn't just mean America.
Mayu. Go to Arena Mexico, Mayu.
Oh my God.
We need please. You. Mayu.
Ever since Stardom came to be a part of Bushiroad, I've been saying that I want to create more chances for more people to jump into women's wrestling and Stardom, because I have all the confidence in the world that if you start watching Stardom, you'll be hooked. I think that is something that most people listening to this podcast can agree to. In terms of the look, the presentation, the characters, the in-ring, I really am certain anyone who watches it will love it. That's why I want to take this belt with me to New Japan and then to other companies, other countries as well. I want to do as much media as I can. I want people who don't know about women's wrestling really, what women's wrestling really is, to find out. I mean, this title is a huge deal, right? It's hard to get out there as lady wrestler Mayu Iwatani. But having the title, being a champion, gets you more offers from other media, gets more people to know who I am as I'm elevating this title's value. It's doing the same to me. I think I can really use this championship to broaden the women's wrestling landscape.
Yeah.
Well, it's great of all time, folks.
Like I said, it's fascinating to hear wrestlers kind of like, I hate the word, use this word, because it's like a derogatory word, but I love to hear wrestlers yap about just like, you know, how they're feeling about shit. Yeah. You know, and I, because it's just like super interesting, and you get little tidbits like we got from this Mayu interview of her just kind of like, yeah, like this title is meant to be something, and it's hard to make it what I think it's meant to be, but you know, every day I'm fighting, I'm trying. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not without a lack of trying. This is what it's all about, and I think that's great. I think Mayu's mentality is a great one. And you know, the ace of women's wrestling is here, the icon of women's wrestling. You know, there's a reason that's her, and mm-hmm. she takes that role while she is Mayu. And she can only take things so seriously, being Mayu. I think she takes that role insanely serious, and I respect the hell out of her for it.
As I've altered in the past couple of weeks, the icon of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, it's interesting, because when she won the red belt, she changed it from being the icon of Stardom to the icon of women's wrestling. So mm-hmm. now, maybe she is the icon of professional wrestling. I mean, the other icons retiring. That's my guy, but I mean, he's on his way out. Maybe she's the last icon.
Shout out to the Stinger.
Yeah,
100%. So her feelings about Mina. We'll end on this.
Because the wrestler, not the faction. Go on.
Yes. Well, to explain what Mina Shirakawa has done up to now, she was in Stars, which is like our hentai, for a while. Then she joined Tam Nakao's Cosmic Angels. She spun away from that to make her own.
This is crazy. I didn't read this part.
She spun away from her own team called Club Venus. They didn't get much done. And now she's made another faction called E Nexus V. Empress Nexus Venus, of course. I think her attitude is new team, new title. Yay. That's not taking this seriously enough, if you ask me.
They asked, Holger really said, I do not respect a homie hopper.
Wait, it gets better. She says, honestly, I can't really tell you when they asked what kind of wrestler is Mina. When I think of Shirakawa, I think of when she had her face smashed in against Saya Kamatani. I've always been someone to encourage wrestlers who are newer to this than me. But there was one time when she was in Stars and she had a match with Unagi Sayaka that was so bad I chewed her out. Like, can you expect people to pay money to watch that?
Oh, shit, she's right, though. That match was bad. I'm sorry, I did not read this part before we started.
I'll finish it up, then we'll talk about it. I've wrestled her a few times since, but she changes her style so often. Recently she's been wanting to kick more and to go after your knees. She hasn't picked something to stick to. They asked, so you feel she's an unfinished product style wise That's what I mean when I said I couldn't answer your question before. But the moment that proved to me that she, that what a pro she is when she got her face smashed up. She could have freaked out and that would be totally normal. But instead, she went backstage and gave her comments. So you acknowledge her grit. They said, do you think her forming this new faction, having that momentum might be a threat to you? No, not really. Momentum can be a powerful thing, but Mina's a bug to be crushed. That's all.
Man.
Incredible.
If Mina doesn't act right, she might get.
Mina she is might. A bug.
Bad things might happen to her if she don't act right in the next 3 days.
Dude, that is crazy. She called her a bug. She said essentially she's no good. She can't make up her mind. That's a championship.
She's a homegirl hopper, as I said.
That's crazy. New team, new title. Yay.
Mayu's like, I've been in this bitch the entire time.
I know.
You're stars loyal the whole time.
You're talking about the wrong person when it comes to factions and sticking and, you know, stuff like that. I love the intruder out. Like, you expect people to watch that? It's crazy. It's crazy.
That was a really rough time when they were both new and they were both, like, getting pushed. Unagi and Mina. It was
Shout out Sayaka Kara. Come on now.
Yeah, Kara's a pusher.
But that was like the perfect way to end this. Like an incredible interview. Go check it out. New Japan website, English website, NJPW 1972. It's very much worth it. And then she did this great this was her second to last answer. When they asked about the movie that she's in, because the poster was behind her, she said, yeah, my movie Runaway Wrestler is out in theaters across Japan, May 17th. Tells you the story of my life so far, my journey in wrestling. I hope everyone goes to check it out. That's a nice cheap plug.
Homegirl turned into a PR machine with that last one. That's great.
I love that the poster was behind her. But that is it. Can't wait for that match. I'll actually be reviewing that probably first on my YouTube channel. It'll be Check It Out, episode 2, Mayu Iwatani versus Mina Shirakawa. You can check out episode 1, which was about Io Shirai versus Mayu. One, it wasn't the first, but you know, it's the big one in the trilogy, right? It's a very important one in their trilogy to start it off for the World of Stardom Championship. So that's fun. And then the third episode will be coming up probably sometime next week, which will be with Mayu and Kagetsu, which Dylan, you watched with me, which was a blast.
Yeah, it was a tremendous match.
It was fantastic. So if you want to hear my immediate thoughts about Mayu and Mina, that'll be out probably sometime Friday or Saturday.
I'm sorry. I can't get over the fact that she's like, do you know how bad she is? Do you know how bad she was? She was dog shit. Like, that's a crazy thing to say. I want wrestlers to get better. I didn't think she was ever going to get better from that.
she was literally like, I like to talk up wrestlers who are new to this to me. However,
those motherfuckers sucked.
However, they had the worst match I've ever seen. And I was like, nah. This is not what's going to happen. That's why the pose of her over Mina.
Yeah.
You know, that picture is so perfect.
Oh, that was the next year. Yeah. Or if not, like around. No, it would be months. That year. It was that year.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, same I'm pretty sure season. It was within a few months.
Man. Mayu, I hope Mayu gets a position of power somewhere so that she could do the Inoki bit that Inoki did to Doc Gallows, coming out and just throwing chairs and the fucking match. Now this just sucks. Have you ever seen that clip?
Yes, I have.
Oh man, I need Mayu to do that.
Well, I'm happy we could go through that, but let's get to the rest of Stardom now. I think we're gonna do Korakuen first, and then we'll go over the Cinderella to close the show. Korakuen Hall this past Saturday, live on pay-per-view, which was a lovely surprise, I know, for a lot of people. I had said 2 weeks ago on the show, I think that Wednesday was going to be live. Ultimately, it ended up being Saturday. Whoopsie daisies. I was a day off. What you going to do? Or a few days off. Yeah, I was a show off.
They shot the Wednesday show, yes, like it was a live show. So
yes. You know. So it was clearly a trial if you watched that Wednesday show, which was a fun show as well. But let's get into the Saturday show. Lots to talk about here. I can go through the quick results before the big matches, of course. Starlight Kid and Ruaka got their first win. They did not win later on at Fantastica Mania, but they did appear there. They were Mystico approved per their
ponchos.
That it was completely signed by the roster, but that includes Mystico. So they were Mystico approved. I know that you've already said that Ruaka should be the next Hechicero or something, yeah, which is
a female Hechicero,
which is crazy.
Doing the pose, you know what I mean? Doing
the, oh, yeah, dude, the pose is worth it. The pose is worth it alone. But they did a good job. I thought Starlight Kid goes to babyface whenever she's not in the Stardom ring, so I always think she does a really good job. Because that's my preferred role for her at this stage of the game.
Yeah, I really liked her in the Fantasca Mania match. I thought, like,
yeah,
she just came across as like more like interesting, more endearing, more likable. Which obviously she's a heel, so none of those things. Like, I get why. Like, that's kind of the point. But I agree. I liked her in the Fantasca Mania match.
In this opening match, her and Azumi were just doing. Azumi's the Viva Mexico. That was really the.
Oh yeah, Azumi was very upset that she did not get selected to go to Fantasca Mania. So her and Ruaka were beefing about that. Which is fun.
Viva
Mexico!
That's great. Sue Suzuki defeated Rana Yagami. I thought Rana did a good job. May Sara defeated Waka Tsukiyama.
Lot of ass-based offense here.
Yep. May Sara teased the Hirota thing.
Thousand years of death, yeah.
But Tanahashi, Saya Kamatani, Miyu Amasaki defeated Oedo Tai's Momo Watanabe, Rina, and Fugi in Depth. This is important because it was Miyu Amasaki pinning Rina to earn her shot at the Future of Stardom Championship, which will be happening this Sunday in Rina's hometown, correct?
Yeah, in Tochigi.
Which is always very cool. The sisters have been out doing their work for that show.
Yeah, and Hina's out of the brace that she was in, the like shoulder, the sling. So, not saying she'll come back soon, but she is progressing injury wise.
She was in her gear for the media, so that was good enough. So that's going to be interesting. Obviously, Amasaki is a very intriguing one when it comes to the Future of Stardom title, because if it's not her, and it wasn't Yuzuki, then who is it?
I think it's possible that Miyu loses here. Rina defends it once or twice more, and then probably once more, and then Miyu challenges again. I think Miyu might double challenge. I think that's what's going to happen. Truthfully, I said on Stardom Quest that I think what they might do is an old Oedo Tai thing. Where not old Oedo Tai, but like a, you know, Dark Age Oedo Tai thing, where they would Oedo Tai would win via, you know, shenanigans, and then they get challenged to a second match, and then the babyface would win. So yeah, I can see that
possible.
You know, like Miyu losing because Rina cheats, and then Miyu challenging for the KBS Hall show, which is next month. Which would be her hometown. I think that would make sense.
That'd be cool.
We'll see.
I don't expect Rina to lose in her hometown. This isn't WWE, so you know.
It just seems like it'd be inopportune.
Yeah. And it's not live.
Yeah, and especially considering, like I said, they will have a homecoming show for Miyu Amasaki in a month.
Yeah.
So you could just do that there.
Yeah, Rina's been a great champion, I think, all things considered. So this should be a fun match for those two. I think they have pretty fun chemistry based off this tag, at least. Again, this show is really good just because like the vibes are so good. and the crowd, while it wasn't like filled to the back, was lively.
Yeah,
and as I said,
it was a good time.
And as I said to you, I would trade commentary for mic'd crowds 10 times out of 10.
Oh, 100%.
And that is what this show was.
I don't know why Stardom hasn't figured out how to do commentary. Because like it's been years now. As far as I know, and you know, I'm not Japanese, but the Japanese commentators do a fine job, as far as I've heard. And you know, potential English commentators, you know, obviously Walker has been wanting to do commentary. Chris Charlton is down to do commentary. They have commentators. They have, you know, like Stuart Fulton and whatnot. I like the idea of commentary, but for whatever reason, they don't know how to make it align with their audio tracks. They don't know how to mix it properly.
Yeah.
So it always sounds like New Japan sounds when they're doing it remote,
mm-hmm.
which is very bad. I cannot watch New Japan English commentary when it's remote. It just takes me out. And that's the only option they have for Stardom pay-per-views.
If you listen to like multiple English comms, even in Japan, like it's still quieter. Like the crowd's still naturally quieter than if you listen to the Japanese commentary, I've noticed, because I've like went back and forth. It's not as noticeable as like just Stardom as opposed to commentary, no commentary, but it's just
maybe they just expect English commentators to yell more.
That's possible. That's very possible. Next up, Shuri Murai, Ami Sarai, and Saki Kashima defeated Mayu Iwatani, Hazuki, Koguma, and Yuzuki. This was a really fun match. This was the return of Koguma, which was lovely to see, of course. And Shuri made another rookie go to sleep. I think this was her third straight match of doing that, which I found very interesting.
Yeah, she's rediscovered how cool choking motherfuckers out is. And that's where we're at in the Shuri arc. yeah, happy to see Koguma back. Big Koguma fan, obviously. That's about it. It was a fun match. I mean, it's stars, so obviously it's hard to be bad when you're a Stars tag team match, if I'm being honest.
That's true. That's very true.
So, you know, it was what you wanted out of this, I would say. Obviously, I would have preferred if Koguma didn't lose her first two matches back, but, you know, it happens.
I mean, the next day was worse, to be fair.
It was a lot worse. You got a fire over there?
We're all good. I'm alive. Everyone's alive. Thank you. They knew what match was coming. The fire alarm knew what match was coming up. And I was like, this is it.
It's heat. It's heat. Yeah. It's hot in there. I thought you were going to say Hechicero caught a flight back to the wrong place. He's in Boston for some reason.
That'd be real. Oh my God. If Hechicero was here,
he started doing the pose. He started doing the fire giveaway again.
Shout out Hechicero. Everyone go watch Fantasticomania. Last 2 days were great. New Blood Tag Team Championship. It was Wingori, Hanan, and Saida successfully defending against Mai Sakurai and Chen Yoda. And as Dylan said, we watched this match together.
Yep.
And I'm going to be perfectly honest. Listen, I think Wingori is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. One of the best teams going right now. But, we have to reference the other side too. Mai Sakurai, you know, we know what Mai Sakurai is.
Good tool player. Good tool player. When she can kind of slip in there and do some of her good shit and then get back out, perfect situation for her.
Fine trios wrestler if she has like two top stars with her, right? Mm. Fits. And then there's Chen Yoda, of course. Haven't watched Chen Yoda in a while. A few times I've seen her on New Blood. Solid wrestler, right? Well, everybody, little did I know that Chen Yoda decided to be the greatest of all time for this one match. And her and Saida stole the freaking show. When I tell you that we were screaming during this, like, this match was insane. Yep. This match had in no part of my mind did I think I was going to walk away from this match and say, that's a tag team match of the year. But what did I do, Dylan? I walked away from this match saying, that's a tag team match of the year. Oh my God. See, they know it. They know what's happening.
It's too hot.
I want to mute myself. You go on about the match.
Man, Scotty's right. This match, if any of you, and I apologize to use a show that's not covered on this show, but if any of you watched Brian Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr. from last year with John Moxley on commentary, and how after the match, John Moxley just sat back and went, holy shit. That was me, Scott, and Xavier on call watching this match together. It was insane. It felt, once it was over, it just felt like you had experienced something for the three of us, at least. On my notes, I was taking notes of this match. I only got to a couple before I just wrote the lariats, and I had nothing, like the lariats. I did not finish my thought. that's all I wrote. The lariats. Like, man, and it's funny. I'm looking at my notes real quick. At first, I was like, oh, yeah, Ida hit a two-handed chop to Yoda's back. That was nasty. And I was like, that was like maybe top 10 nastiest at most. like there was like probably 6 or 7 or 8 more nasty things that those motherfuckers did to each other. It was fucking insane, man.
Chan Yoda. I don't know what happened. Listen, this isn't me.
She's
just
good now. No,
she is
good now. I watched the Ryo Mizunami match from last month.
Yeah,
not great, but it was a good match. Like it was an actively good match.
But this was like otherworldly. Yeah. so her, like as you said, her and Ida are trading lariats left and right, and I just hear all three of us freak out about it now. Like we're like, yeah, let's go, and then they start slapping the taste out of each other's mouth, and then Ida hits the nastiest slap. I was like, oh, here we go. Ida goes to slap again. Chan Yoda catches her arms and hits a shoot headbutt, followed by a burning lariat and a jackhammer.
That was crazy. She had a jackhammer concussed.
That's the craziest, but you're right. After the match, Chan Yoda tweeted, like, was it later or the next day?
It depends on
the time. I think it was later. She tweeted, yeah, I don't really remember anything. I was like, that's insane. And you could tell in this match, she was out on her feet at one point. Not that it affected the match, but like they were trying to get her on the top rope.
That's what actually happened, was she hit the jackhammer and everything. It was fine. And then it was a Wingory comeback, and her adrenaline kind of like went down a little bit. And then it's like, oh, I can't stand up.
Yeah.
Like you could notice. But then she got right back at it pretty quickly from there.
Incredible match. Hanan was awesome in this match, by the way. Yes. She just wasn't in the big like segment between Ida and Chan Yoda, but I'm happy it came down to those two. Hanan was fantastic. She's, you know, I've been talking about it every single week on this show. She is geared up for the next step very, very, very soon. But my goodness, this match was incredible. My Sakurai did good in her spots. She didn't have many spots. They pretty much just gave the room, you know, she gave the ring to Chan Yoda.
What she did do, she was stiff and motherfucker. She was going hard, you know, like 100%, like props to her as well. But this was the Ida and Yoda show. It's funny because earlier in the night, or in the match before, I believe, we talked about, and you know, from me, no disrespect to Ami Sore, from Scott, might be a different situation. But we were talking about how Ami Sore does that like sliding lariat, and we're like, damn, like half the roster does this, and Ami is like on the lower end, right? Ida, because she's so short, instead of having people like go on their knees to do it, she just leaps and does a sliding lariat like that, like a jumping sliding. Like, I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, but like it's a different kind of lariat than just like a, you know, jumping. Like, it's insane. She was taking Yoda's head off with these lariats. It was, oh my god, it was so good. This match was so absurdly good.
There's only been two times this year where I felt like that sort of like adrenaline rush watching a match. Mm. And it was this one and then the Mayu and Shuri one. The Mayu and Shuri one's different because I'm looking at the time. And I'm like, yeah. Oh my god, they have like no time left. This is, and they because they were going 100%, and that was fantastic. But this was unbelievable. Like I said, tag match of the year so far, one of the best matches of the year. Just if you went into it or you didn't watch the show yet and you were like, whatever, just go and watch this. Like it was great. My Sakurai had a very emotional promo after. I don't think Chan Yoda talked. I don't think she was
probably for the best
there to talk mentally. But
she was just, man. And after the match, so Ida and Yoda both had these big bumps in the middle of their foreheads.
Yep.
Ida was bleeding out of her nose.
Oh, they beat the shit out of each other.
It was like rent was fucking due for these motherfuckers, man.
Yeah, it was so good. Everyone go watch it. Next up was EXV defeating the Cosmic Angels. This entire match, I was just saying, come on, Sayaka Carrara, spear someone, spear someone.
Hit the spear,
and she every got
time,
it.
Every time there was separation, we'd be like, spear? No.
No. She hit it on Micah, though. And I, you know, listen, don't listen to anyone else. Listen to me. She had a visible pin. She had a visible pin.
Micah wasn't kicking out. Micah wasn't kicking out. It wasn't Hanako.
Hanako pulled Sayaka Carrara up. I was devastated. Devastated. But the fact that her three spears have now been on Tam, was it Tam, Shuri, and now Micah in a row?
Yeah. The Shuri one was nasty.
Yeah, the Shuri one's the best one so far. That was Goldberg like. We got a jackhammer and then a spear the next match. Incredible. Shout out to Goldberg, I guess. But yeah, in the end, Sayaka Carrara got pinned by Micah. So
Xena and Carrara were the two that I picked out from this match as like, oh, these motherfuckers are cooking.
Xena's and I so think good.
In part that's because of expectations. Right. Mm-hmm. I think you have lower expectations for someone, it's a lot easier to be impressed by them in certain ways. So I think like Xena, yeah, she came back and immediately it just works. She's just in perfect shape and perfect, you know, she's in form, so to speak. And Carrara continues to impress me a lot. She's becoming one of my favorite young wrestlers in the company just because like she has that indomitable babyface spirit. Right. That like you just it's kind of infectious and I really like it. I hope that they are smart with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there is this issue. And this I will say, I think this in part was a Rossi issue, is that you will either push a babyface way too quick and their like underdog spirit kind of goes away. I think that's what happened with Unagi for a time period. I was just like, well, she's not really an underdog if she just beats way too many people right now.
Right.
She's like 6 months into her run. What's happening right now? Mm-hmm. Like it kind of like killed that for me. Or you'll have a Waka where it's like, okay, she loses so much, and when she eventually wins, she still kind of feels like a loser.
Yeah.
And you don't really go anywhere from that. I hope that they find a way to book Carrara so it's a bit it's in between. You know, it's the perfect medium. Because she could be such a great underdog babyface for this mm-hmm. for this company. She is so absurdly good at just the fundamentals right now. But that's all you need to be good at is because she has. And I hate to say it, but she has it, right? She gets the selling better than I would say. She's the best seller of her classmates.
I agree.
And
maybe that's because she's actually in pain.
Also possible. Very Itsuki Hoshino type. Yeah. Hoshino had a few matches where it's like, I don't know if she's selling or if Jungle Kim is just actually hurting her. Because it might be either. It might be either. So yeah, I think that in terms of her selling, her bumping, Carrara is probably the strongest of the bunch. Mm-hmm. I would say her offense outside of the crazy ass spear and the arm jack probably still tied with Rana and actively below Hanako and Yuzuki, But still, like, I think that Kvara has so much upside. We talk about very frequently, the two of us, because we're both big fans of hers. And she really impressed me in this match, much like she has in the past few matches I've seen from her.
I'm left talking about Sayaka as much as any rookie. And I think that's an accomplishment on her part of how good she's been. I think, and I said this last week, 2 weeks ago, there is a comparison I continue to make to young Tam, not new Tam, obviously, because she's,
yeah, you
know, Tam is no longer an underdog. That I think she's going to really benefit from learning. And I do think also having the Natsupoi, because Natsupoi is a great underdog wrestler. I think it's going to go a long way for her. So obviously excited about her. And Zena, she continues to be fantastic since coming back. I just want to give her that credit. Obviously, I think it's actually very impressive how good she is, considering she was good last time, right? Like, we're in agreement. But I keep saying this to you, that there is some benefit for her that she's not being compared to other foreigners, and I think it's allowing her to stand out more.
Yeah, and I think her being the first one there even is good in terms of like this year's crop, because like, yeah, we've been talking about it, we've been kind of like hoping that maybe Megan Bain comes back at some point, considering AEW's not fucking putting her on TV. We're like, maybe she just moves to Japan. How about that? Maybe can we get that going?
Can we get her back, please?
Yeah, and like, in the event that that happens, I think her and Zena could be a killer tag team, for example. But I think what Zena needed was to be the only foreigner for a minute, just so that she can kind of develop her own personality. I think Club Venus was not a good idea from the jump in the way that they ran it, because I do think that like someone like Zena benefits more from an EXV than she did from a Club Venus. Mariah May obviously is like the outlier there, because Mariah May obviously like was like half the identity of Club Venus, so obviously she benefited from it. But I think conceptually, Zena in EXV just feels way more prominent. It feels like she really has something to latch onto there. And I'm really happy that she's back. As I've been saying for the past few weeks, I think she showed last time around that she is among the better half of foreigners that Stardom has ever used, just from being like good, because they've used a lot of bad foreigners. But I think now she's starting to be like, okay, she's going to get into the top 20 and the top 10, you know. If she keeps going at the rate that she's going, if she keeps improving at the rate she's improving, because she is really good. And again, Stardom has had a ton of great foreigners historically.
Notably, I just want to point out, because for some reason, I learned this. If you type in this might just be my Google, but when I type in Mayu Mina, my Twitter is the first thing that pops up, and it's very, very weird.
Yes.
Okay. That's, yeah. Okay. Cool. Not just me, I guess.
It's the first in the first three. It is two of you and one Reddit that says Mayu with some harsh comments about Mina, which is real. True.
And then it's the actual interview itself. Anyways, yeah, Zena rocks. I think she's going to benefit greatly from what she's going through.
That's crazy.
Sorry, I'm reading now. Mina underwent a fire ritual in a temple for the title match.
Oh, she's going to lose so hard.
I will turn over any negative words directed at me. I will be the top of Stardom. Alex said she's going to stomp Mayu through the ring. Well, I don't know if Alex
ever heard of Hiroki Goto.
Yeah. Also, Alex, I don't know if you know this. Mayu called her a bug. So, you know, it's tough. She called her bug. All right. And the main event was the Strong Women's Championship with Julia successfully defending against Natsuko Tora in a no DQ match. I think we can all agree this was a bit shocking, because, you know, the rumors are heavily out there that Julia's leaving in March, likely to help out Rossy Ogawa before heading to WWE. yet she is still the champion with no new match set up. So, yeah, I thought this match was very good. Probably the best that they've ever had together. Very physical, very... They did the no DQ rule well. You know, they used Cork into their advantage. Natsuko took some nasty, nasty bumps. First the pile driver and then the freaking table through her head, which was, that was rough to watch. Because then they had to rip it off of her head. That was like, you know, not easy to watch because, you know, they're originally pulling it. And it's like, all right, it's not coming out. It's not coming out. Stop. Please stop pulling it. And then they had to, and then the ref had to like rip it apart. But they had a great match. And
I noticed Barb had the main event assignment, which isn't usually what happens.
Well, they knew with the no DQ that.
It was smart. It was definitely smart.
I was ready to help.
Barb is a tremendous referee, by the way. Like, I know it's a nerd thing. Once you start like complimenting referees for their work, you start getting a bit in too deep, but I never denied being in too deep. Barb's a great referee. He's really on top of shit, and he did a great job here, 100%. As did the women in the match, clearly.
Yeah, I think for what my expectations were, just based off their past, this exceeded that as well. Both title matches delivered. If you're looking for two matches to watch from the show, this was a very good Julia match. She was on her game. Tora was on her game. And then they exchanged very nice words after the match. They said Natsuko said she was happy to come to start. Like, they did the entire, like, goodbye, Julia, without Julia losing, which was like, I don't know. I felt it to be very weird.
A little bit.
But
did you go back and watch all of the, like, watch the promo on
No, Scramble? I didn't watch the full thing. I just read the translation.
Yeah. I thought this was their definitive singles match, which I think, you know, isn't saying a lot because I didn't really love their singles matches prior. But I did think that this was a really, really good match. Their third, you know, Cork and Hall main event in as many matches, singles matches against each other. And yeah, I thought it was their definitive match, singles match, and I get what the point was, because Julia brought something on Natsuko that nobody else really did, in the physical side of things, like just literally, like in the oh well, we could just plunder and this will be cool. Nobody's really done that with Natsuko other than Julia, so I get and I appreciate them running this. However, there are some things that make me question what's going on, like what the fuck is going on right now, just in, like, you know what I mean? But yeah, I'd like that this match happened. It's a shame that Natsuko lost. I would have liked it if she won and then was like a transitional champion to whoever's next, just so she could have got that one singles title, because she's not winning the Wonder Belt and she's not winning the Red Belt, as far as I can tell. So I would have liked it if she got that one singles title, but, you know, it happens. I was happy with the match regardless.
I do have a funny I did have a funny point to make that I'm now forgetting. Oh, wait, no, it's back. It's back. It's back. you know, Julia's going the Okada route rather than the Osprey of not putting anyone over on the way out. It's kind of real. I'm sorry.
It'll be the funniest shit ever if she vacates the fucking purple belt.
I'm telling you, just fly a Karen.
Would make sense, but also when?
Yeah, Fantastica Mania looks pretty good to do that.
I actually thought they were going to do that like a month ago. Turns out they decided, 2 days later.
toss them on the anniversary show for New Japan.
They should do that.
Why not?
I think if Mayu and Mina kill each other enough, either it will force their hand, or Ghetto will be like, no, my they made my boys look bad. I never want to see them women again.
Looking at that lineup, they're going to make the boys look bad. Don't you worry. Very,
yeah.
Shut out Most Wanted Nick Nemeth, though, of course.
They have some House of Torture cushion there, though, in between the championship match and the bad.
Like I said, shout out Nick Nemeth. But that's it for the Corkin. Corkin, yes. Very good show. I think the two title matches are well worth your time if you're looking for something worth your time. But let's get to our final topic here, which is the Cinderella Tournament. Of course, the brainchild of one that's not in the company anymore, which made me assume we were going to get something different one way or the other. I think some thought maybe they changed the rules, which I am not ruling out yet, by the way. I still think that's very possible. I don't know about you, Dylan, but I think there's still a real chance that we see either the time limit go up or the over-the-top rope be taken out. Like, I still think there's a reality.
Ruaka did mention, I should probably, you know, fact check this with the website. Ruaka did mention in the presser that something about over-the-top rope. I imagine she said, I'm just going to win all of these matches by over-the-top rope elimination. But she might not.
She might have said that, and I will agree. But until I hear rules announced, I'm just going to assume they're all assuming that nothing's changing.
Love assumptions.
Yeah, I mean, so this is already a changed tournament.
Yes.
So the way they revealed the wrestlers, as someone that was awake watching this and doing my best to cover, I said, what the hell is happening? So originally it was just stars that came out. It was Saida, Koguma, Hanan, Momokogo, who made her grand return by saying she's gonna quit, and then she was like,
being a fucking loser.
Yeah, that's exactly what she said. And I was like, why are you always so serious now? Jesus Christ. And then Yuzuki. So I was like, okay. No Mayu and Hazuki. That's all right. Sure. And then it was two of Queen's Quest, two of Cosmic Angels, two of EXV, and Rana Yagami. So it was Lady C, Miyu Amasaki, Yuna Mizumori, Sayaka Karara, Rana Yagami, Hanako, and Xena. And I was like, I have no idea what's going on. That's what I was like,
I didn't watch this live, but I did watch it unspoiled. I watched the presser as they all came out. I was like, where the fuck
is
this? All I knew was that Mayu wasn't in it, because I accidentally opened Twitter and read you say, oh, Mayu's not.
I was like, Mayu is not here. And then Natsuko, Tora, Starlight Kid, and Ruaka of Oedo Tai. And that's when I was like, what happened? You know, like, where are we going with this? But of course, they released a separate batch, which was essentially like the hand-selected trio from the company, which was
the high-speed girlies.
The weird like way to frame it. It then was the 5-star winner Suzu Suzuki, the back-to-back winner Mirai, and two of the three finalists, because Mirai Sakurai did not show up to this.
She will be in the tournament, though.
She will be in the tournament. Ami Sarai, Wakatsuki. Well, here's the thing. When I saw the first five and then those two, I was like, what is this? Yeah. I was like, how did we decide on this?
It makes sense. It does. But
yeah. It does. But when you just see like the batch of talent come out, I was just like, excuse me. And then Mai Sakurai will also be in. So ultimately, the tournament has changed. The tournament is now going to be done like this. The opening night will be on March 9th at the Yokohama Budokan. The March 10th will be Corkin Hall. March 16th, Himeji. March 17th, and I don't have that in front of me. Maibara, maybe?
Perhaps.
I believe. Appreciate. And then the finals will be on March 20th in Nagoya. And the way it's broken down now is that I have so many tweets. Okay.
You do.
The 16 wrestlers will be in the first round, the first 16 announced, which were Saida, Koguma, Hanan, Momokogo, Yuzuki, Lady C, Miyu Amasaki, Yuna Mizumori, Sayaka Karara, Rana Yagami, Hanako, Xena, Natsuko Tora, Starlight Kid, Ruaka, and Saki Kashima. And there will be 8 seeded wrestlers awaiting the winners of those matches, which of course are Hazuki, Azumi, and Meisara, the hand picked by the office, Suzu, the 5-star winner, Mirai, the Cinderella winner, and the finalist of last year's tournament, Ami Sarai, Wakasukiyama, and Mai Sakurai.
Whew. Yeah. And this is going to make me sound like such a nerd. I'm a big rules guy.
Big rules guy.
I appreciate the seeding rule. Like, I think that's really cool. I appreciate when you make things, like, you add schematics to make things make more sense. I hate it. I would hate it if they were just like, oh, and these 8 wrestlers are fucking here, I guess.
Yeah, fuck you. Right.
Reasons.
Sure.
Which they kind of did with 3 of them, but, you know, I'll let it slide.
They said they were company picked. God.
Why? Like that?
Because they're good. That's what they should have said.
I agree. But no, like I appreciate them being like, okay, well, these 4 get in here, and these. I appreciate that, and I like the idea of having people who haven't done anything basically for the last year, having to work a little bit harder. You know what I mean? I appreciate the champions being taken out. I appreciate it all in principle. My question is, where is Momo? Where is Shuri? Like, I get why they aren't in it. And Taro Okada did mention that, like, the entire point was for someone who hadn't really been there, quote unquote, yet. But then why is Mirai in there? That's where
she won the Cinderella
twice and the white belt.
Well, they want her to defend the honor of the Cinderella. That is Momo, the idea.
Momo has won less than Mirai has historically.
I understand that.
Like, hardware-wise. That's what I mean more so.
They said Mirai's title reign was so bad, she has to redo it.
Like, that's crazy. Like, exactly. Like that's what it felt like. And I'm like, this is fucking disrespectful at this point. Yeah. This is crazy.
So ultimately, the idea is to not have... I saw some people try to like shake this, like not have champions. It's like, well, that's a lie. There are champions in this tournament.
Top champions.
Yeah, top champions.
I think the artist, the high speed, the future, and the future isn't in it, by the way. But the future and the new bloods.
No, the future is not in it.
Aren't top crazy. Champions? I think Rina's not in it because of scheduling conflicts and not, you know, it's hard to tell.
The finals is on a Wednesday.
Yeah, the twins are the only underage like girls who are still in school, as far as I know. So, like, it's not like we can really tell if it's just like a Rina thing or a
bro. Rani Yagami's in a band, or was in a band. You know, she's
a good drummer. I heard
she's not about that school life, bro.
Yeah, that's true. She also might be like 40. Nobody knows her age because she's done a lot in her life. But
yeah, she has actually. She looks really young though.
She does, but you never know. Point being is I appreciate it, right? That there's no top champions. You know, there are 2 classes of champions in this company. No top champions. And I appreciate that they have these rules that's like, oh, well, the final 4 from last year get an advantage this year. The 5-star winner, if she's not a champion, she gets an advantage in the Cinderella. You know, and then these 3... who I'm cool with, obviously. They're my favorite wrestlers in the company.
So, I was going to say, I think you're pretty happy about it. But
yeah, no, I'm happy. It is just a matter of like, okay, well, I just appreciate the old school feeling of the Cinderella having upsets.
Sure.
Like the only real prizes here are beating Suzu and beating Mirai. Sure. Otherwise, it's like... I mean, if like a Hanan beats a Hazuki, that's huge. Don't get me wrong, but really, they're with a Momo, you can really put over someone like Ida, right? If Ida got an upset in the Cinderella over Momo, even if it was like a pretty, you know, loose win, it wasn't like a you know, a pinner, you know, with her finish type of win. Even if she just got her over the top rope or just did, you know, got a roll up, whatever, it would have been big. Like, it would have been like, oh, that's sick. Maybe she makes a run this year type of thing. And there's not as much of that this year to go around, which I'm not as crazy about. But I do appreciate the vision. You know what I mean?
So I get that, and I think a lot of people are making that point. After last year, I don't remember a single upset. Every main eventer, right. But this is my point. Like every main eventer just got like tossed out by double elimination in some form. So like that's why I'm just fine with accepting this being the new pathway, because ultimately the Cinderella has lost a lot of its luster, right? And that part of me is like, okay, let's try something new.
But the issue is that was like last year specifically.
I understand that. But like some people don't. The multi-day loss made it lose.
Yes, yes, 100%. No, I agree. But the years prior that were multi-day were still better than last year's.
Funny thing
last year's was such a crazy fumble of the tournament.
I feel like the new tournament could all happen in one day. I know I'm the psycho.
It could happen in a weekend.
Yes, which we have. I think we pitched on the show a month ago. But I like it only because I wanted something different this year, and a smaller field ultimately is more welcome than what I feared, which was every wrestler involved.
Yeah,
I understand, but I also understand the disappointment of like the big stars coming. I will tell everyone that was like, oh my God, does this mean they're all leaving? No, it does not mean they're all leaving. The wrestlers not involved were Mayu Iwatani, Utami Hayashishita, Saya Kamatani, Hina, Rina, Momo Watanabe, Fukigen Death, for those who were worried, Natsu Poi, which was a big one, just because I thought she may have been coming back.
I thought Natsu Poi and Mina and Tam on the outside were like the big ones that's like, oh, well, that takes away a favorite.
Yeah. Tam, obviously, Sayori, Shuri, Micah, Mina Shirakawa, Julia, Tekla, which I have no freaking clue what this woman's doing, and Aya Soccer, who, of course, is still injured.
Yeah. The lack of cosmic affiliates, meaning, Tam, Natsupoi, and Mina. I know she's not an affiliate anymore, but you know, as we touched on earlier, she's been in a lot of factions.
They are the
As Bayou put very appropriately, a lot of factions. I think those people being out of it make this field very interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Because it's like I think that is the biggest plus side, but I guess this is the case every year. Is that I really don't know who to look at, you know? Like I'm looking at stars a lot. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
So this is the fun of it now, right? We get to kind of talk about who is in it and the possibilities to win this tournament, which is for me fun because the top stars are the ones that should be the most focused on. My options of top choices are pretty simple. It's Hazuki, which, I mean, I think we should all keep saying that until she wins something. Yep. Azumi, who I think is definitely an intriguing option. I don't think Maysara has a shot, but I think she makes a pretty solid run because of her high speed side, which is preferable, obviously. Hanan as well, I think, makes a ton of sense. She arguably feels like the favorite heading in.
If
there were betting odds, she would be the favorite based off the lineup.
Yeah. Once we see the bracket, I think it'll become, for example, if Hanan and Maysara are on opposite sides of the bracket, I know what the final is.
That would be so real though.
Don't get me wrong. That is the dream final.
I would have to admit that Taro Okada cooked.
Yeah, no, that's a look for him.
Yeah.
Outside of like that's like the dream final outside of like a Hazuki Azumi final.
So Hazuki Azumi to me, I have thought about this. If they do go that way, which would be very smart. Like if it's not going to be Hanan, obviously it's going to be one of those two. I think that's your smartest final. I think you keep them on opposite sides. But I'm trying to figure out like so the person who wins this is challenging at Buntai.
Yes.
That's how the math leads up.
And also because they're being all, you know, you know, fuck the rules. You know, we're changing things up. This is the new era. The new breed is unleashed. It's very possible that they challenge for a belt that isn't the white belt, just to kind of reset that precedent.
Yeah.
Since it's been a few years since the Cinderella was used for anything but the white belt. So that also opens things up. Like, my maybe not fear, but I could see.
Did you say new breed?
I said the new breed is unleashed.
Shout out Marcus Corvon. All right, continue.
You're going down. my fear is that Kid wins and challenges Mayu.
I don't think that's happening. But
I don't either.
That'd be crazy.
But I think Kid would be the favorite if she didn't just lose to Ano.
You know, yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. But she did lose to Sayori, so that's what matters. She's out of sight, out of mind.
Also say I think Suzu is a bit more possible than others would, because I think Suzu being the tournament girl is a very possible look. I mean, she's been a finalist in every tournament she's been in this company, except for the first five star where she was the number runner up. Yeah, she almost made it to the final. I think she was tied on points.
Tied with Julia.
Yeah, she tied with Julia. That's what it was. So almost every single tournament she's been in this company, she has gone to the finals in. Yeah. And I think they might just keep that going, kind of like have her be this, you know, unstoppable tournament wrestler. I could see that. Maybe not win it, but I could see her going to the finals maybe. It's an open open tournament. You know, yeah. I could see Xena making a run. I could see Xena brought up that she wants to meet Mirai in the tournament. I could see Xena taking Mirai out.
It's a real match.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Last year. Because
Cindy last year.
They were. You're right. So I could see that happening. Maybe Xena getting a big win in second or third round over Mirai.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of intrigue here.
I won't predict the final yet because, again, we don't have a bracket. But right now I am between either a Hazuki Azumi bracket or a Hanan Maesara bracket. And truthfully, that's very Dylan Scott E. Pilled. So I think it's a good day to keep it that way. Don't break my heart. Don't break my heart. But I just want
to. All four of them are going to be on the same side where it's going to throw shit. We'll
fight each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'd be a heartbreaker. That would be the perfect final four.
Yes.
In my opinion.
I agree.
That's kind of where I am thinking. Is that they're on the final four?
Plus, it's two stars. It's one of Queen's Quest and one of Unaffiliated. They've done. Yeah, 2 years ago, it was two stars with Hazuki and Koguma.
Yeah.
One DDM at the time. Natsupoi?
Yes.
One DDM at the time and Mirai, who was a GE. So yeah, it's 2-1-1 is not unheard of. It's not like we're leaning too far into one side of the roster or anything like that.
I think you'd take out Suzu with a draw or something too, if she would face Mirai or something.
I could see her facing Kid.
Or Kid, there you go. That's a good one.
And
I just wanted to I don't usually play clips on the podcast, but I do want to play the best part of the entire press conference.
The pretty girl fucked up her words. It happens, man.
Oh, man. Azumi just absolutely pulling a Mayu.
I adore her. I adore Azumi. And then afterwards, Suzuki and her just fucking...
Oh, my God.
Man, just kind of sitting there just laughing their ass off reminds me of me and my friend who always pop each other and just end up falling over each other laughing. And it's just oh man, that's such a wholesome moment. Everybody was laughing. It was a great time. You could even see Ami just kind of dying in her hands on the other side.
That's crazy. You said even Ami. My favorite part of that, those two are losing it when Maesara's trying to cut her promo.
Yeah.
It's man, she's half paying attention. But yeah, this is the Cinderella. Remains to be seen what the matchups and brackets break down too, but once those are out, we'll have a more.
When do you think those will be coming out? Because the Cinderella starts in 2 weeks.
Oh, they're just gonna, you know they're just gonna put an article out with them, like a
probably
link. That's what
I hope. Doing. I hope it's not week of, because that would piss me off. Also, I am traveling that week, and it's gonna be a fucking headache if they do that.
yeah, no, that'd be bad. I guess that's it though for the show.
Huh? Yeah, it's actually interesting. Every year I travel right before the Cinderella tournament. Because my friend's birthday
time the same time.
Yeah, my friend's birthday always falls right next to the beginning of the tournament, which is fascinating. Not really. It's just how, you know, calendars
work. That's how calendars work. But, you know, I was trying to be nice. Yeah, you know. Dylan, let the people know where they can find you.
You can follow me on Twitter at XXIchiban, because I like Roman numerals and I'm number one in your heart. That's Ichiban, if you didn't know. And you can find me on Starum Quest every Wednesday now, because me and Alex changed the days that we record. So every Wednesday you can find me on Starum Quest over on the Five Star Network. You can also find me on the No Limit Wrestling Show on the Five Star Network YouTube channel. And you can find me on Substack at write.substack.whatever. You can find that on my Twitter. Or you could also do, I believe it's what's the other one? Hold on. This is bad audio. I apologize. It's substack.com/xxichiban if you want to check it out over there. I will be releasing something at some point. I promise.
It'll be
about Joshi Wrestling too. So.
Sick. Right up y'all's alley. I will be releasing something at some point.
Soon.
There we go.
Well, no, because I was like, oh, I'm going to write this article. And then I realized that it's like, okay, I'm through like a fourth of it and I'm 3,000 words in. Maybe I should do this in
parts. Jeez. You're doing a research paper.
Yeah, maybe I should do this in parts. So that's the plan. Part one will be out.
I will say soon.
Part one is about the Nippon Budokan shows in the 1970s. So the rise and fall of the beauty pair that took place in Nippon Budokan at the time.
Whew. All right. Well, while Dylan goes back and watches history and writes a lot.
Did you know that, and I said this in the Five Star earlier, in Discord, the All Pacific Championship, which was the spiritual, the original white belt, right?
Yeah.
That belt was originally the Hawaiian Pacific Championship, and then it got deactivated after one of the beauty pair retired and like retired with it. Mm-hmm. And then Rossi Ogawa both like lobbied to get it back. I'm pretty sure I've heard that from one source, lobbied to get it back and then renamed it the All Pacific Championship. So, that was like one of Rossi's first orders of business as a member of the company was we should get the white belt back and we should rename it to something cooler.
That's real.
I think that's kind of sick.
Notably, I just wanted to add this. I don't have any update on Rossi Ogawa this week besides he faked go to New York. So,
yeah,
that's true. I said last week that when I was recording, I was like, that was the first picture he sent, like of the Empire State Building. I was like, yeah, it looks like he's in New York. And then he posted one the next day and everyone was like,
why is Wicked there?
Yeah, why is Wicked there? Why is some movie that came out in like 2016 on the poster?
So that wasn't even his most recent trip to New York. That's the funny thing. He was in New York a couple years ago.
Yep, that's why it's awesome. He was like, all right, let me find some pictures.
Let me cook with this one.
But any Rossi stuff,
I expected him to do a run-in. Like you know, like wrestlers do, like Jordan Grace, who was like, I'm at home with my dog, and then a minute later she was in the Royal Rumble. It's like, okay, this is getting lame. Let's see Rossi Ogawa do it.
That would have been so funny. You can follow me at Scotty Wrestling on Twitter /X, whichever you prefer. I say that on every podcast I do. I don't know why, but
does anybody prefer X? Except for like
probably not, but you know, I say it anyways. You know, some people like to be updated, I guess. Check out my YouTube channel. I believe it's just Scott E Wrestling. I don't think it's too complicated. I have one video on there.
Woo.
But it's Io Shirai versus Mayu Iwatani. I'll have another one up Friday or Saturday morning, and then I will have up another one next week about Mayu versus Kagetsu, which was already watched, so I just need to record it, which I'm lazy, so good.
It happens.
You know, it'll happen eventually. But if you have any match recommendations that you'd like me to cover on that, feel free to throw them in. I'm always happy to listen. I've already got a few.
Is it Joshi exclusive?
Nope.
Did you ever watch Desperado versus Kansai or Kasai? Not Kansai. Jesus.
Yeah, I did.
You should review that one.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah,
that'd be a good one. I was thinking about a few matches.
I was thinking about that this morning, and I was like, man, that match was so fucking good.
I've got a couple matches that are rewatches. But I mean, the Io Mayu one was, so obviously I'm not really opposed to rewatching anything.
Yeah.
As was Kagetsu and Mayu. So again, not against rewatching. But all right, this has gone long enough. For Dylan, I'm Scott. This was the 5-Star Joe Show on the Fight Game Media Network. Until next time, see ya.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.